At almost every clinic I've ever done, I've made impassioned pleas to my graduates at the last day of the program to come back in for reinforcement. And one of the most common things I will hear out of these people is they'll come when they need it. What's interesting is how people kind of figure out that they need it. Unfortunately, most people figure out that they need reinforcement because they're smoking again, and they realize, oh gosh, I should have come for reinforcement. Very few people who graduate will ever show up to a program again for reinforcement. That's one of the things I kind of like about the internet work that I've been doing, is people do keep coming back. They keep coming back for long periods of time. And it's not that we're asking them to spend a whole lot of time or to do a whole lot of posts. I want them to keep reading. I want them to keep remembering where they've come from, when from being a smoker and where they are now. It's hard to get people to do this in live program settings. I learned this at my first clinic, because in my first clinic, we had set up for a follow-up meeting, because the seven people who graduated all said that they had to have more sessions. It just wasn't enough. And it turned out that one person did show up at that session, and I thought that was a pretty small turnout. Well, that was nothing compared to what happened after that. I was doing clinics for the American Cancer Society in my early years of doing smoking cessation clinics. And when I did those programs, I was kind of going all over the city. And I wasn't in one central location for a few years when I first started doing programs. And I tried to do a few follow-up meetings where I would travel around the city for people who said they were going to be there. And I realized pretty quick, nobody was showing up. And I was traveling pretty far distances. When I stopped doing these meetings, I stopped doing follow-up meetings, I realized people don't come. They say they're going to come, but they don't come. When I centered into one area, I started working in a northern suburban area of Chicago in a hospital, and it was going to be basically an ongoing program. I was going to be doing clinics every month or every 2 months, and we were having pretty large turnouts at these programs. The first clinic I did was in, I did one in September of 78, but I didn't run the whole clinic. I opened up the clinic, and I came in as a guest speaker, and somebody else was running it. The second one I took over, and I began running the clinics full time at the hospital at that point in time. It was in November of 78, and I had 33 people in that clinic who'd quit smoking, 30 had quit smoking, and they all swore they needed more meetings. They had to have this follow-up. So I scheduled a meeting, and I think it was about a month later, and it was on the third Wednesday of the month after the clinic was over. And I go to the room, I reserve a room from the hospital where we did, it was actually the smoking lounge of the hospital is where we used to do the clinics, and I reserve the room, I set up 30 chairs because they all swore they were coming, and I sat in that room for, the meeting was supposed to start at 7:30, I sat there until 8 o'clock and no one showed up. I stayed a few minutes longer just to make sure. No one showed up, and I'm thinking, oh my God, they all went back to smoking. I mean, they all swore they were coming, and no one showed up. So I got home early enough that night that I started making phone calls to the people in that group. Everyone I had reached was off smoking. I had talked to them a few days or a few weeks earlier because I had done phone follow-ups in this time, but these were people who swore they were coming to a meeting. Now, they all had different reasons and different excuses, but they all said, but they'll come next time I'll do it. When I do a follow-up meeting again, they for sure they're going to be there. Well, the next day I finished up the calls. I called everybody, and we hadn't lost anyone from the time I did the earlier phone follow-up. And they all swore they needed this meeting. They all swore that they were still worried because the clinic was over, it was too soon, and next time I do a meeting, they were going to come. Well, I had another clinic happen in this time period. So now we get another 30-some people in the clinic. So now I have a pool of 60 people. And again, the last day of that clinic, people said, the clinic was over too soon. They needed more reinforcement. They needed more meetings. And I said, I told my last group I'm going to have this follow-up meeting. Again, we scheduled it so it would be on the third Wednesday of the month. This is kind of where I just figured out the third Wednesday of the month will always be a follow-up meeting. And they were thrilled. They all said, oh, yeah, they'll be at this meeting. They'll be at this meeting. Well, I reserved the room again. I go up. I didn't set up 60 chairs because I figured, I'm not going to be a total fool about this. So I set up 30 chairs again because I figured, okay, I had, 60 people say they're coming to this meeting, swear they're going to be there. I set up 30 chairs, and I sat up there alone again. No one showed up. And I wasn't panicked this time because I knew what happened last time, but I did go home, and the next day, that evening I called a few people. The next day I called people. And again, they all had planned on coming, but, things came up, and like, they just didn't seem to need it. But they're going to come next time. They'll come when they need it. This is where I started hearing that. I do a few more clinics, and I do a few more meetings. Big turnouts at the clinics. No one showing up for these meetings. One time, it was funny, because at graduation, I started telling the story about how no one shows up to the meetings, but people, you know, kept swearing that they were going to come. I stopped at one point reserving the room. Well, actually, I stopped setting up chairs first. I reserved a room, but I didn't set up any chairs. I literally went downstairs to the front lobby of the hospital, because I figured people could only come in one main entrance, and I figured I'd catch them if they ever came in the lobby entrance. It was lonely sitting in this room by myself, you know, so there were two women who work at the information desk. And the third Wednesday of every month, you know, without fail, I would show up. And I didn't really talk too much to them about what I was doing. They knew I was an employee at the hospital. I said, oh, I'm here for this meeting at 7:30. And I'd visit with them for, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes. And then nobody, of course, would show up. And then I would leave. And I could see these two women were kind of feeling bad for me. Here's this guy coming to a meeting every single month, and no one shows up. They started baking me cakes and cookies. Like I said, I think they felt bad that I was there and nobody was showing up for this meeting. And I'm not sure that I didn't continue doing this because I was really enjoying the cakes and cookies. This was actually kind of fun for me, and then I enjoyed their company. But, you know, again, the people kept swearing they were going to come, and now we're dealing with pools of, you know, a few hundred people who could have been there who were not showing up to the meeting. There was one time I had a guy show, walk into the lobby. Now, I stopped reserving the room. This is ridiculous to tie up a room for a meeting that I knew was never going to happen. And this may have been like 5 or 6 months into this little process, maybe a little bit longer. I had one time where I had a guy walk into the hospital who was a clinic graduate. He was actually a panelist for me. He was a person who came on a pretty regular basis. His name was Joe. He was a very heavy smoker. He smoked 5 packs a day, and I have not had many 5-pack-a-day smoker, but Joe was one of them. So Joe walks in the lobby of the hospital, you know, a little bit before 7:30. So I, of course, I automatically assume he's visiting somebody, and I say, "Oh, Joe, who are you visiting? You know, what, you know, why are you here?" And he says, "Well, I came for a follow-up meeting." Well, I got all excited. I said, "Having trouble?" You know, I was surprised that he would be, because he's been a panelist for me for months now. He was very stable, and he said, "No, he was at the last clinic and on a panel night. There were people who came up and talked to him, and." People radiated the Joe because of the quantity he smoked. And he said these people were nervous at the time that the clinic was happening, and they thought that, you know, they had said that they were going to need long-term reinforcement. And Joe had mentioned that he heard that I did these meetings. So he told the people that, you know, he'd come to the next meeting and, you know, talk with them. So, and the people told Joe they'd be there. So now Joe comes into the lobby and says, no, he's here for this meeting. I said, oh, Joe, this is not going to be any meeting. No one's showing up. He said, no, he talked to these people, a few weeks ago during this clinic he was in, and they swear they're going to be there. And I laughed at Joe, no one's coming to this meeting. And he didn't realize that I was being, you know, dead serious here. So we're standing there, we're talking with the two women at the information desk. Joe and I are both talking. I think they were stunned because they had a visitor for the first time. And anyway, Joe, you know, it's like 7:45 now. And Joe kind of looks at me and says, where is everybody? I said, Joe, no one comes to this meeting. And I said, I gave him the whole history about all these people swear they're going to come. They swear they're going to come. And again, the comment you will hear from people at the time of graduation, they'll come when they need it. Now, this wouldn't be troublesome to me if I had 100% success rate for the rest of the lives of everybody who went through the clinic. But that's not what happens. You know, close to half the people go back to smoking. These people could have benefited from this reinforcement. Those people who went back to smoking needed this reinforcement. It was there, and it was not utilized. Again, what we're doing on the internet, I think, is better in a sense, because people do continue to come in for reinforcement. And again, I'm not saying that people have to center their life around quitting smoking. It's not the case. It's not that they have to sit there and read 2 or 3 hours a day. It may be just a matter of coming in once every few days, maybe once every couple of weeks, whatever it is, but reinforcing their resolve. Reading posts of people who are first quitting smoking, reading posts of people who are off longer than them, and seeing the progression of how things really do get better. So there are mechanisms built in here that I hope people are utilizing. One of the letters that I talk about is how you should wake up every day and just say you're not going to smoke that day. That really should be an exercise that everybody does who quits smoking. It's not saying that they thought about cigarettes all day the day before that. They may not have thought about cigarettes at all the day before that, except maybe for 2 times. And again, the 2 times are when they wake up, I want people to say, I'm not going to smoke today. I'm making some rough moments. I don't know what might happen, but I'm not going to take a cigarette no matter what. And at the end of the day, to congratulate themselves for doing it. This is important to do, to just remind yourself. day after day. And again, I'm not saying to focus your life around not smoking. It's a matter of giving yourself a few seconds to just reinforcing your resolve when you wake up that you won't take a cigarette, and at the end of the day, to congratulate yourself for pulling it off again. Because for another day, you have proven that you've been able to stick to your personal commitment to never take another puff.